Take a look at almost every airliner built in the last 70 years. A Boeing 737, an Airbus A320, a Douglas DC-3 for that matter. You'll see the same three ingredients. A tube for the people, a wing bolted to the middle of it, a tail at the back to keep it pointed the right way. We call it tube and wing, and here's what most people miss. We didn't choose that shape because it's the best way to fly. We chose it because it was the easiest way to build a pressure vessel that wouldn't split open at altitude. A cylinder holds pressure beautifully, so we've been flying cylinders with wings stapled on for the better part of a century. Now a company out in Long Beach, California wants to throw that whole layout in the trash. And the interesting part is, they've got the United States Air Force and a major airline writing checks to help them do it. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct, the show where we take the machines and the ideas reshaping aviation and pull them apart to see what's actually inside. Today we're talking about the blended wing body, a company called Jet Zero, and an airplane they call the Z4. Let's break this down. Before we get into the airframe, let me tell you who keeps the lights on around here. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole journey, beautifully made, solid in the hand, built to last, the way a good memory should. If you've got a milestone worth marking, or somebody in your life who just hit one, go take a look. AviationSoul.com. Okay, the blended wing body. What actually is it? Picture an airplane where the line between the fuselage and the wing just disappears. Instead of a fat tube in the middle, the entire center section is a wide, flattened body that generates lift all by itself. The passenger cabin isn't a cylinder anymore. It's a broad-shaped shell that blends smoothly out into the wings. From above, it looks less like a dart and more like a manta ray or a flying wing with a thick middle. The whole airplane is a lifting surface. The body lifts. The wings lift. There's no dead weight in the middle just along for the ride. And that's the entire pitch, right there. On a conventional airliner, that tube in the middle produces drag but almost no useful lift. It's overhead. On a blended wing body, the fuselage earns its keep. It's part of the wing. The data tells an interesting story here. NASA and Boeing and McDonnell Douglas have been studying this shape since the early 1990s. They flew a remote-controlled demonstrator called the X-48, a little-scale model, in the 2000s, and it flew just fine. The aerodynamics have never really been the problem. The numbers on paper are gorgeous. The estimates you'll hear are that a blended wing body can burn somewhere between 30 and 50% less fuel than a conventional jet doing the same job. Jet Zero uses the number 50%. Now, be a little careful with that figure. Half of that saving comes from the shape itself, and half comes from pairing the shape with modern high-bypass engines and lighter materials. Compare apples to apples against a brand new efficient jet rather than a 1980s design, and the honest aerodynamic gain is smaller, still large, still worth chasing, but not a clean 50% from geometry alone. So if the shape is so good, and we've known about it for 30 years, why are you flying home from your next trip in a tube? Here's where it gets real. This is an engineering story about pressure and about people. Remember why we build cylinders? A pressurized cabin at 35,000 feet is a balloon. The air inside is pushing out in every direction hard. A cylinder handles that load naturally. The stress just runs around the hoop evenly, and the structure can be relatively light and simple. It's one of the most elegant pieces of structural engineering in all of aviation, and most passengers never think about it once. Now try to pressurize a wide, flat box. The flat top wants to bulge outward like a paper bag you blew into. To stop that, you have to add structure. Ribs, internal walls, reinforcement. And that structure is weight. So one of the great historical knocks on the blended wing body is that you give back a chunk of your aerodynamic savings just building a cabin strong enough to hold pressure without ballooning. That's the central engineering fight of this entire airplane, and it's the reason the concept sat in the lab for 3 decades. Then there's the human problem. 2 of them, actually. First, evacuation. On a tube, everybody's within a few rows of an aisle and an exit. On a wide-body cabin that's 5, 6, 7 seats across a broad, flattened space. How do you get everyone out in 90 seconds, which is the certification standard? That's not a wind tunnel question. That's a doors, aisles, and human behavior question, and the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, is going to want to see it demonstrated with real people, not a simulation. Second, and this one's subtle, on a conventional jet, everybody sits close to the centerline, close to the roll axis. When the airplane banks, you barely feel it. On a wide, blended wing body, passengers sitting way out toward the edges are a long way from that center line. When the airplane rolls into a turn, those outboard seats swing up and down through a much bigger arc. The concern is that a passenger sitting near the wingtip could feel a gentle airline bank the way you'd feel a carnival ride. JetZero says their cabin is narrow enough and their control laws gentle enough that it's a non-issue. That's a claim I'd want to see tested with a full cabin of ordinary travelers before I put it in the wind column. So that's the honest ledger. Beautiful aerodynamics. Brutal structural and human factors homework. For 30 years, the homework won. What changed? A few things. And this is why JetZero is worth your attention right now, instead of 10 years ago. Carbon fiber composites grew up. A blended wing body is a nightmare to build out of riveted aluminum panels, all those compound curves and that pressure-fighting structure. But you can mold a large composite shell into almost any shape you want, and composites are both light and strong in exactly the ways this airframe demands. The material finally caught up to the geometry. Second, the pressure on airlines to cut fuel burn and carbon emissions got real, with real money and real regulation behind it. A 30% fuel saving used to be a nice to have. Now it's a survival number. And third, somebody finally decided to stop studying it and build a full-size one. That's JetZero. The company was founded back in 2021 by Tom O'Leary and Mark Page. And Mark Page is the name to know here. He's one of the original blended wing body designers going all the way back to the McDonnell Douglas and NASA work in the 90s. This isn't a crypto guy who discovered airplanes last Tuesday. This is a man who has been trying to build this specific airplane for most of his career, finally getting the tools and the funding to do it. Their commercial airplane is called the Z4. Think of it as roughly in the class of a mid-size wide body, aiming at around 250 seats, the kind of airplane an airline would use on a transcontinental or medium-range international route. Two engines, and here's a detail I love. The engines are mounted up on top of the body toward the back rather than slung under the wings. Why on top? Two reasons, both clever. One, the big flat body shields a lot of the engine noise from the ground. People underneath hear less of it, and two, up there the engines are ingesting cleaner, smoother air, which helps efficiency. There's a bonus, too. You don't need tall landing gear to keep the engines from scraping the runway, so the gear can be shorter and lighter. And notice what JetZero did not do. They did not bet the airplane on some exotic new power plant. No hydrogen, no batteries, no open fan engine that doesn't exist yet. The Z4 uses conventional, off-the-shelf turbofan engines, the same class of engine you'd bolt onto any modern jet. That is a deliberate, disciplined engineering decision. They're changing one enormous variable, the shape of the airplane, and holding everything else as boring and proven as possible. Because if you try to revolutionize the airframe and the engine and the fuel all at once, you don't get a breakthrough. You get a bankruptcy. Now the money and the momentum, because this is where JetZero separates itself from the graveyard of beautiful airplanes that never flew. In the summer of 2023, the United States Air Force awarded JetZero a contract worth around $235 million to build and fly a full-scale demonstrator, not a scale model. A real, full-size airplane. Why does the Air Force care? Because the shape that makes a great, efficient airliner also makes a great tanker or transport, and a military airplane that burns a third less fuel can fly farther, carry more, and needs fewer tankers to support it. That's not an environmental argument for them. That's a range and logistics argument, and it's a powerful one. The demonstrator is being built with some serious hands involved, including Scaled Composites, the legendary Mojave shop that has built more first-of-their-kind airplanes than just about anyone alive, and Northrop Grumman, a company that knows a thing or two about flying wings. The stated goal is to get that demonstrator into the air around 2027. On the airline side, United Airlines signed a conditional agreement, a purchase option for up to 100 of these airplanes, with the deliveries way out in the next decade, and every one of them contingent on JetZero actually hitting its technical and certification targets. That word conditional is doing a lot of work, and you should hear it clearly, because here's the honest timeline, and I'm not going to hype vaporware at you. A demonstrator flying in 2027 is a huge deal, if it happens on schedule, and first flights slip all the time. But a demonstrator is not a certified airliner. Between the first flight of a technology demonstrator and the day you and your family board a commercial blended wing body, there is a mountain called certification. The FAA has never certified a large passenger blended wing body. There is no rule book written for exactly this airplane. They will have to prove that 90-second evacuation with real people. Prove the pressure structure over tens of thousands of cycles. Prove the ride quality, the handling at the edges of the envelope, the emergency descent behavior, all of it, on a shape the certification system has never seen at this scale. That process, realistically, runs into the 2030s. When you hear a company say passengers by 2030, adjust for the fact that airplane programs, even ones run by honest and brilliant people, almost always take longer than the press release. The tube and wing has 100 years of certification precedent behind it. The blended wing body has to write that precedent from scratch. That's expensive, and it's slow, and it's exactly the kind of unglamorous work that decides whether this thing becomes an airplane or becomes a very nice museum piece. So let me give you the balanced verdict, because that's what we do on this show. The promise is genuine. This is not a gimmick. The aerodynamics are real and have been validated for 30 years. The efficiency gain, even the conservative version of it, is large enough to matter enormously to airlines and to the planet. The team is credible, the funding is real, and the decision to keep the engines conventional shows the kind of engineering discipline that actually gets airplanes built. The risks are just as real. The pressurized structure is the hard part and always has been. Certification is a wall. Nobody has climbed with this shape, and every timeline you hear should be read with a healthy dose of and probably later than that. Here's what I keep coming back to, though. For 100 years, we've been improving the tube and wing. Winglets, better engines, lighter materials, cleaner aerodynamics, and we've squeezed that lemon just about dry. The gains now come in single-digit percentages, a point here, 2 points there. The blended wing body is the first thing on the horizon that offers a step change, a 30%+ jump, instead of another polish on a design we settled on because pressure vessels like to be round. That's the bet Jet Zero is making. That the airliner of the future doesn't have a fuselage at all. That the tube was never the goal. It was just the compromise we could build in 1955. And we got so used to it we forgot it was a compromise. Maybe they're wrong, maybe the structure fights them, or the certification wall proves too tall. And this joins the X-48 in the file of airplanes that flew beautifully and never carried a paying soul. That's happened before to better-funded programs than this one. But if they're right, the airplane your grandkids fly home for the holidays is going to look nothing like the one you flew in on last week. And that is a genuinely exciting thing to get to watch in real time. My thanks to the reporting from Jet Zero, the U.S. Air Force's public statements on the Demonstrator Award, United Airlines, and the long trail of published NASA and Boeing research on the X-48 and the blended wing body that made all of this possible. If you want the links and the deeper dives, they're over at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Keep your eyes on the horizon, because for the first time in a long time, the shape out there is actually changing. See you next time on Clear Direct.